Namely, Shri Sanatana Goswami, Shri Rupa Goswami, Shri Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Shri Raghunath Das Goswami, Shri Jiva Goswami, and Shri Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who are very expert in scrutinizingly studying all the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles for the benefit of all human beings. Thus, they're honored all over the three worlds, and they're worth taking shelter of, because they're absorbed in the mood of the gopis and are engaged in the transcendental loving service of Radha and Krishna. Shishad Goswami Prabhu Ki Jai. Yesterday we began discussing about bhava, ecstatic love, chapter 17. We gave a definition in two parts. Who remembers what is the first part of the definition?
Yes. This is about nasadis and the bhava of pure goodness.
Okay, that's correct. And then there are two secondary characteristics. What were those, Charachandra?
The heart is softened and the various
tastes, right, which soften the heart, which cause the suffering. Then we explained, with the example given of Maharaj Ambarish, that even though bhava and prema are the same thing, but they are different degrees, prema is prema, and bhava is a very small part of it, but it is still part of it. Just like a ray of the sunlight is the same as the whole sunlight, qualitatively, but quantitatively it's quite different. So the example of Maharaj Ambarish was given in that regard, that he, on certain occasions, he would experience symptoms of bhava, symptoms of ecstasy. On other occasions, not. Whereas someone on the level of prema, they're always experiencing the most remarkable and overwhelming symptoms of ecstasy. Then we discussed that there are two ways of coming to the level of bhava. Swetadri Prabhu, tell us the usual way of coming to the level of bhava, the normal way. Swetadri, you can't read your own handwriting? Krishna Prasad? Yeah, association of pure devotees. Or you could say devotional service in the association of pure devotees. Anyway, that's the basic idea. And second, the not so normal way, in fact, it's quite unusual way. Anand, what's that? Mercy of Krishna or the pure devotee. Pure devotees like that. And then different examples were given of those two categories. So, now we go on to chapter 18, which is second part of the discussion of bhava. The character of a person who is on the level of bhava. So, of course, bhava means ecstasy. And already the example has been given of Maharaj Ambarish, who, when he fixed his mind on Krishna, when he was being confronted by Devasa Muni, then he experienced ecstasy in a very emotional sense, that the description is what? That there were some changes in his body, and tears were falling from his eyes. These symptoms are activities of ecstasy, bhava. They are visible in the shivering of the body and the shedding of tears. So these are some symptoms of bhava. Ecstasy. Very extraordinary symptoms of becoming very emotionally affected by Krishna or in some Krishna conscious situation. So here, chapter 18 is about the character of one in ecstatic love. How do you see that person? Or what are the symptoms of that person which you can see? So, on one hand, of course, we could say that, well, from time to time, that person is going to cry, their body is going to shiver, and there are other things like, he's going to collapse on the ground, roll on the ground. There'll be like goosebumps, something like that. The skin will become kind of disturbed. Hairs will stand on end. So if we were to say then how you might recognize a person, what are the symptoms of a person on the level of bhava, then we might well expect to get an answer like that. But here in chapter 18, we find that such symptoms as the manifestation of the character of one on the level of bhava, such things are not mentioned. Other things are mentioned. So we'll talk about those other things which are mentioned. But as far as the things which aren't mentioned, meaning these very emotional symptoms, one reason they're not mentioned, or one thing about them, which is not really so suitable as far as having them as guidelines for recognizing such a person. One thing is that they're fairly easily imitatable. Crying. If someone really feels they want to, they can cry. Fainting on the ground. Anyone can do that. Rolling on the ground. Probably many of you have heard me tell the story of 1991 during this Kartik time. And a group of Bengali villagers came to the evening arati one evening. And we were all there. I was there because we didn't want to lose any points in this sadhana for our grades. Anyway, so we were there, they were there. Kirtan was going on. It was very nice kirtan, as usual, basically. And this group of about 30, 40, fairly reasonable number of these village people, simple village people. And in the middle of the kirtan, they'd been standing there, kind of at the back in the center, around about where the devotees do the 24-hour kirtan. They'd been standing there for a few minutes, taking it all in. Suddenly, the whole lot of them were on the floor, rolling. Were some of you there that night? Anyway. Rolling from Tulsi Devi to Srila Prabhupada and back again. There was a whole thing, just shoot down and up and along and forward. And normally, of course, we don't step over Vaishnavas, but we had to, because there were so many of them just rolling this way and that. You didn't know where the next one was going to come from. So then, while this was all going on, there are two young boys who are members of that group who didn't do it. Young meaning early teens or thereabouts. And they were too, you could see they were too much on the bodily platform. Not spiritually realized enough or something. Not crazy enough. Anyway, they weren't into it, and you could see they were a little sort of, they didn't know what to do, they were perplexed. So after this, after their friends had rolled up and down a few times, these boys, I saw them, they looked at each other, and they nodded at each other, and then they were both on the ground, going up and down. So such things can be imitated. There was one incident when Srila Prabhupada was in a temple somewhere in America, I think, and such a person came along, a supposedly advanced Krishna Bhakta from India. And the devotees were there in the temple, and Prabhupada was upstairs. Suddenly, and some kirtan was going on, suddenly this person was on the floor, crying and moaning and rolling, and just a whole performance was going on. And the devotees, this is the first time they'd ever seen it. They didn't know what to do. So they ran up and asked Srila Prabhupada that this fellow was on the floor and He's just completely in ecstasy. And, you know, it's a big commotion. And what do we do? Prabhupada said, well, you go down and you kick him hard in the head. If he carries on rolling on the ground, then you know he's in ecstasy. If he reacts any other way, then you know it's bogus. So anyway, the point is, simple point, that emotional symptoms in so many cases can be imitated. And if we want to know, to recognize, that is Shivananda on the level of Bhava or Krishna Prasad, and they come into class tomorrow and collapse on the floor as soon as we start singing Janarada Madhava, then what are we going to say? So, therefore, in chapter 18, the thing is that Srila Rupa Goswami lists out 9 symptoms, characteristics of a person who is on the level of Bhava. And they are more, you could say, they're more like symptoms which cannot be imitated. And therefore they're very practical, realistic symptoms. They cannot really be imitated, not for long. Whereas rolling around, crying and all these things, they can be imitated. But these can't really. You have to be very advanced, actually, to really manifest these symptoms. So these are very important symptoms. And a lot of this chapter is devoted to discussing them. Let me just find my notes. And just while we're at it, you'll need to know a number of these for the test. And actually, tomorrow morning, it's our last class before the test, Nectar of Devotion class. Oh, here's the attendance sheet, by the way. And so we're going to go through, we'll see how far if we finish Bhava and Prema today. Otherwise, we may have to finish off a bit. And then we're going to go through what are the different questions for the test. But there's going to be one about this. You'll need to know some of these. Okay, so these are characteristics. Beginning with, very interesting and very, very important, observable symptom of Bhava, which cannot really be imitated. That is, that the devotee on the level of Bhava is always anxious to utilize his time in the devotional service of the Lord. He doesn't like to be idle. He wants service always, 24 hours a day, without deviation. And who can you think of? There are 2 people particularly who come to my mind who are very, very good examples of this. Maybe you can just say one of them at least. Srila Prabhupada, very, very good example. And another well-known example? Have you heard? Yes, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. They are both very good examples of this. And it cannot really be imitated. I mean, many devotees, I heard a rumor, even some of our members here are not trying to imitate this. Meaning, sometimes they are quite happy to avoid some service. So don't worry, we won't get mistaken and think you're on the level of Bhava. So, like in the example of Srila Prabhupada, he was up. It's hard to really say when his day began because he was often up when the day began. He would often get up at 11 or so, 12, and then chant and translate while everyone else was sleeping. And then he'd go for his morning walk, come back and give Srimad Bhagavatam class, then basically run the movement, take some breakfast, run the movement till lunchtime, which was around 1 or 2 or thereabouts, take some lunch, take an hour's rest, or hour and a half maybe, then carry on running the movement a little later on, have guests and devotees in for darshan every night. After the darshan, carry on running the movement, take rest at about 10, get up about 11:30, That was his program. You know, like running on 3 or 4 hours sleep a day and not nodding off or complaining or anything like that, but just absorbed. Just absorbed. Most amazing, actually. So this comes into this category here of anxious to utilize his time, and always not just anxious, but utilizing his time very practically in the devotional service of the Lord. Then Bhaktivinoda Thakur had a somewhat similar schedule, somewhat similar in terms of hours. Of course, he had to go and work as a magistrate, but in many ways it was very similar. When everyone else was sleeping, he was writing or chanting like that. And just so engaged. So this is symptom of bhava, and this cannot really be imitated. If it can be imitated, it can't be imitated for long. And the fact that the person is not actually qualified for that sort of schedule will manifest in that they'll be falling asleep all the time. As soon as they sit down, it'll be like a sign for them that they must immediately fall asleep, and without fail they will. Even sometimes devotees fall asleep on their feet. And all sorts of extraordinary things happen. We won't get into it too much. There's the one devotee who was fanning one of our, at that time, gurus, and fell asleep while fanning, and fell into the lap of that person, and then bounced down onto the floor. So there are many kind of amusing, actually, sleeping pastimes. But at the same time, there's some also very horrible sleeping pastimes. The day I got initiated, first initiation, 1973, there was some devotees, this was in London, in Bhaktivedanta Manor, some devotees came down from Edinburgh in Scotland, which is several hundred miles away, or 500 miles away, something like that. And so they came down to see Prabhupada, and one or two or three were also to be initiated. So they got initiated. Then they drove back through the night, that night. They left in the evening and to drive back overnight and get back in the morning. So at around midnight somewhere, the driver fell asleep, and the next thing he knew was waking up with what they call an articulated lorry, the biggest type of truck on the road, approximately about 6 feet ahead. He was in the wrong lane. And, you know, they're both doing about 50 miles an hour or something like that. So he swung back to the left-hand side, but was too late. And the truck basically went through the side of the van and out the other side. And this one devotee who got it just been initiated was more or less cut in half. It's just, his body was just sort of being held together by a little flesh or bone or something. So many devotees have died. I don't know what the figures are, but dozens of devotees have died. Indrajumana Maharaj was telling me that when he was president of New Mayapur in France, that just for that however many years it was, he had to go and identify something like half a dozen dead bodies of devotees who died in car accidents from that temple. So there have been really a lot of devotees have died through sleeping. So, of course, we don't want to sleep all day, but this idea of not sleeping very much at all and just being engaged all the time, on and on, in devotional service. It comes naturally to someone who's on the level of bhava, without any side effects. So it can't really be imitated. Not for long. Someone can imitate it, some devotees do sometimes, but it doesn't last long. Then the next one, always reserved and perseverant. The example is given here, page 136, very suitable example of Maharaj Parikshit. He was cursed to die in 7 days, but he didn't panic. he just went to a suitable place and sat down with some devotees, and in a very calm and Krishna-conscious way said, all right, so now you please just speak about Krishna. Just talk about Krishna. Let me hear about Krishna. And let me become absorbed like this when I meet my death in a few days. So here's a very nice example. He says here, let the curse of the Brahman's son fall upon me. I do not mind. He's not disturbed. Do something. Call a doctor. Call the local tantric. Get him to put a reverse spell on it or something. Call the snake doctors. I know. He's saying, just let it come. I don't mind. But my only request is that at this last moment of my life, you please chant the holy name of the Lord so that I can become absorbed in Krishna consciousness. So this is a very nice example of reserved and perseverant. Then, so this also can't be imitated. There was one girl, apparently in Mauritius, full-time devotee, so to speak, and one day she learnt, or you may have been there, Sweta, she learnt that her uncle had just died. He just died a half an hour ago or something like that. And she fainted, bang, on the spot, right out. So this is not very reserved and persevering. Or something happens, someone gets on our case, like this fellow who jumped up in class, you were there, in the questions time, and starts just flipping out about something. I'm not quite sure what, but this is not the way. So it can't be imitated. You have to be on the transcendental platform. Otherwise, if you're on the platform, on the material platform, even if you're on the material platform to some degree, not completely, but just to some degree, then to whatever degree you're on the material platform, the modes will catch you and they'll impel you to get upset or get excited or something of that sort. But because Maharaj Parikshit is on the level of bhava, at least, or on the level of prema, actually, therefore, he can naturally be reserved and perseverant, even in the face of imminent and unavoidable death, in a rather horrible way. Then detachment. The example, another very, of course, very good example, is that of Maharaj Bharat. That he was so Krishna conscious that when the time came, here he wasn't cursed, of course, but just he just became old enough, and according to that strict Vedic system, strict Varnashram system, it was time for him to leave home. So he understood, okay, it's time for me to go now. He just stood up and walked out. No crying farewells. No speeches of how nice it's been to know you all and all that, and just gone. Just gone. That's all. No ceremony. Just gone, because he knows his mind is fixed. So, in fact, he left everything with so much detachment. It was just like the type of detachment a person has when they leave the storeroom having passed on. There's no sense of attachment. There's no sense of attachment. Actually, there's a natural sense of detachment. So Maharaj Bharat was like that. Then pridelessness. The example is given of Lal Babu, who was a big, famous, wealthy man in Calcutta. He became a devotee and decided just to give up everything and live as a beggar. So he would just, every day he would go on what they call madhukari. Even though he was so wealthy, he didn't keep a small bank balance, you know, something in the bank so I can collect my interest every month and in this way get by. He just gave up everything. So every day he woke up, he had nothing. And he had to just go and beg and eat whatever came. So he did like that. And he even used to go to the houses of those people who were previously his business enemies and social enemies, and just very humbly beg from them. And sometimes they would tell him, sometimes they just laugh at him. Look at you. What? You're crazy. You're completely crazy. But he wouldn't. It wouldn't affect him in any way. So these things can't be imitated. Such pridelessness. If a whole group of people queue up, 50 of them, and tell you, if they happen to dislike you, and one after the other, they come up in front of you and they say that you are like this, some bad thing, and then the next one, and the next one, and the next one, on and on and on. Unless you're on a very advanced level of devotional service, you won't be able to just stand there with folded hands and just be unaffected. You won't be able to. Then great hope. Srila Rupa Goswami gives his own example here. It's very nice. Let's just read this prayer by Srila Rupa Goswami himself. I have no love for Krishna, nor for the causes of developing love of Krishna, namely hearing and chanting, and the process of bhakti yoga by which one is always thinking of Krishna and fixing his lotus feet in the heart is also lacking in me. As far as philosophical knowledge or pious works are concerned, I don't see any opportunity for me to execute such activities. But, above all, I'm not even born of a nice family. Therefore, I must simply pray to you, Gopi Jana Vallabha. I simply wish and hope that some way or other I may be able to approach your lotus feet, and this hope is giving me pain, because I think myself quite incompetent to approach that transcendental goal of life. So in a sense, it's like hoping, apparently, against hope. It would appear that there's no hope, according to the devotee's estimation of himself. But still he's hoping. And he's really hoping. Very, very strongly. He's really hoping. Against hope. So this is also not possible unless the devotee is on the level of bhava. Then an eagerness, samutkanta. Taking every opportunity enthusiastically, always, never becoming depressed. Prabhupada said about himself that even though my godbrothers did everything within their power to discourage me, I never became discouraged. As Srila Prabhupada said, I don't know if I should tell you this, but maybe some of you heard it. Prabhupada said that if passing gas would have helped me, my godbrothers would have held it in. Prabhupada said that. Had you heard that? Anyway, Srila Prabhupada said that. They just did everything they could to avoid helping him, even when helping him wouldn't have cost them anything. They just wouldn't do it, like on principle. But Prabhupada said, he never became discouraged. So this is not possible unless you're on the level of bhava, unless you're a very, very advanced devotee. You may be able to tolerate one setback, two, maybe three, but then it'll get a bit too much. Like this. So this is all in this mood of eagerness, ready to go on and on against all odds. Attachment to chanting the holy names of the Lord. Srila Rupa Goswami gives the example of Srimati Radharani. O Lord Govinda, the girl who is the daughter of King Vrishabhanu is now shedding tears, and she's anxiously chanting your holy name, Krishna, Krishna. And then a similar idea. Eagerness to describe the Lord's transcendental qualities, never becoming bored in class. not falling asleep in class. None of you are falling asleep, are you? You don't become bored, do you? Anyway, attraction for living in a place where Krishna has his pastimes. Not wanting to get away, take a break, get away from the devotees, take a break from devotional service. Anyway, there are these nine, and you can't really imitate them. At least you definitely can't imitate them for long. So therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami is saying that if you want to know what are like prime symptoms of bhava, then don't worry about the emotional symptoms so much, but take these symptoms and look for these, and appreciate these, and to whatever degree a devotee may have developed these. And these are really the symptoms to be concerned about. Then, let's see, from about towards the bottom of page 139 to the end of the chapter, basically, there's a description of the phenomenon of when certain, and in this case it's particularly the emotional symptoms, when certain symptoms which we understand to be symptoms of bhava are actually manifesting in someone who you really don't expect them to be manifesting in, like a non-devotee. So they may be shadow or reflective, shadows of bhava, or reflections of bhava. Reflection means, the basic idea is you associate with a pure devotee and his bhava reflects into your heart, even though you're mundane. So then you may start getting very, very enthusiastic and chanting a lot and apparently very, and actually very ecstatic, like that. There are a number of examples, like businessmen, kind of pious Hindu businessmen, they'd come and associate with Srila Prabhupada. Suddenly, they would be with Prabhupada 24 hours a day practically, and in ecstasy, dancing in kirtan and asking so many questions and relishing Prabhupada's association, just very suddenly. Then just as suddenly, a few days later, they'd be gone, and you wouldn't see them again. Except, you know, maybe they'd show up every now and then. And so this is the type of thing. It's a reflection. Or someone may visit a holy place. Shadow, that's more the reflective. There's reflective and shadow. Bhava Abbas. Shadow means a person, Prabhupada explains, bottom of page 140. That someone, they may associate with a devotee, or they may visit a holy place, like Vrindavan. And when they come to Vrindavan, then also they may get very excited and very blissful. But then they go home and then they're like normal again. So, it's not really possible. So this is called bhava abbas. These are both types of bhava abbas. They're not the real thing. Although, Prabhupada, the point is made that such a person, when they become inspired like that, if they're cultivated nicely, they may actually become proper devotees. But if they offend devotees, which is very likely, because they're kanishtas, if they offend devotees, then this little shadow or reflective attachment they have can quickly become nullified. Similar things sometimes happens with impersonalists also. Prabhupada explains at the bottom of page 141. Sometimes impersonalists also, they become blissful like that. So, similar idea. They must have had some association with a devotee or something of that sort. So anyway, this is bhava abbas. So any questions about bhava? Keshav?
Example I had was someone going to a funeral.
He starts crying. In a sense, yeah. See, there's Pratibimba and Chaya, Bhava Abhas. Pratibimba means reflective, Chaya means a shadow of Bhava. And they're both Bhava Abhas, which means, anyway, not the real thing. Looks like Bhava, but it's not. So reflection means that the Bhava in the heart of the Bhava Bhakta or Prema Bhakta reflects into the heart. Yeah. So it's spiritual, but I mean, what you're talking about is like a material parallel. That the emotion of some people, somehow the person picks up on it. Like children. With children it's very common. One child is crying. And another child comes on the scene and starts crying. For absolutely no reason whatsoever, but it's just like it's contagious. Anyway, those are material parallels, perhaps. But here the actual bhava or prema in the heart of the very advanced devotee reflects into the heart of someone who's not very advanced, and suddenly they become, you know, very, very exceptional things happen. But then, because they're not very advanced, they tend to make offenses. And then, just, you know, almost as quickly as they got it, or pretty quickly, they lose it. This is a great danger. See, the thing is that if it is cultivated nicely, even though it's bhava abhas, it's not the real thing and like that, but if it's cultivated nicely, the person can then advance, actually. But there's a great danger if they commit offenses, which is very likely for a neophyte, particularly a neophyte who thinks they're advanced. Of course, neophytes will tend to think they're advanced anyway, but especially someone who's having some exceptional experience like this, then they'll really think they're advanced. So then they'll very easily make offenses to the devotees. Then they'll lose it. Some comments or questions, devotees? Now this is, yeah, the description here is not so clear. It's much clearer in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. It's really Pratibimba and Chaya. Chaya means shadow, and Pratibimba means reflected. Can we just quickly go up to the level of prema? Are you ready for it? Okay. Prema, let's see. Oh, you have your verses, don't you, from chapter 19. So we have a definition of prema. That's the first verse on your page of verses from chapter 19. And again, there's main part and a primary part, and then there are two secondary parts. So the primary part is Samyan Masrinita Swanto, that the heart becomes completely softened. Stick with it, Krishna Prasad. Hare Krishna. So the heart becomes completely softened. That's the primary symptom. And the two secondary... Wait a minute. Oops, no, that's not. The primary one is bhava saeva sandratma, which means the same thing. It's the intensified state of bhava. So just cancel that first thing that I said. The primary characteristic is bhava saeva sandratma. that it is the intensified state of bhava. Is everyone clear, or have I confused you? This is the one and only primary characteristic of prema, that it is the intensified state of bhava, and you need to know that for the test. Then there are two secondary characteristics, and the first is samyan masranita swanto, that it completely softens the heart. And mamatva ti shayankita, it is marked by a highly possessive ownership of Krishna, a great feeling of possessiveness somewhere else. So we regularly have to remind ourselves that I belong to Krishna. But in this case, it's mamatva. Krishna belongs to me. A sense of possessiveness. Krishna is mine. So these are the two secondary characteristics. So you got all those characteristics? Anyone not got them? Anyone not clear? Anyone still think that the primary characteristic is that it completely softens the heart? As we said initially? No? Okay. So it's an intensified state of bhava, number one. That's the primary characteristic. Then secondary, it completely softens the heart. And it's marked by a great feeling of possessiveness in relation to Krishna. Now again, just like bhava, there are two ways that you can come to the level of prema. And it's basically the same idea as with bhava, because prema is just the intensified state of bhava, actually. Not just the intensified state, but it is the intensified state of bhava. Or bhava is an unintense state of prema. So it's just the same thing increased, really. So, one way is, here we're at the bottom of page 143, going over to 144, by rigidly executing bhava bhakti, really. By rigidly executing bhava bhakti under the direction of the spiritual master, which is the same idea as with coming to the level of bhava, although that was in terms of sadhana bhakti in the association of devotees. But here, obviously, sadhana bhakti has finished and you've been practicing bhava bhakti for some time, so it means the rigid execution of bhava bhakti in the association of devotees. And the other way is, if you go down page 144, there's a section, the Lord's Extraordinary Mercy. So this is the other way. By the extraordinary mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or his devotee, but particularly here, we're talking about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's interesting to note, I think actually we already noted it, that the discussion about sadhana bhakti covers 14 or 15 chapters or so. Bhava bhakti is only 2. Prema bhakti is only 1 short chapter, 4 pages. That is because the rest of the book is going to be dedicated to prema bhakti. So this is just a little introduction. So, now, there are 2 types of prema. 2 types of prema. One is, let's write it on the board.
Mahatmya Gyan Prema, which means prema
based on knowledge of the glories of the Lord. Or in other words, prema reached through the development of what, would you say? Through the development of what? Bhakti. Which is all in the middle of awe and reverence and awareness of the glory of the Lord as the Lord. Then there's kevala prema. Kevala, of course, means pure or... yeah, basically pure, actually. One-pointed. And this is the prema which arises out of raganuga, sadhana bhakti, and then bhava bhakti in the mood of raganuga. Like that. And, anyway, we suggest that you familiarize yourselves with these concepts. So the examples are given, actually. Okay, this chair doesn't squeak any longer. What happened? Must be the... oh, very good. He's a real... he took great risk. Is that one of the symptoms of bhava, or... what's it a symptom of? Okay, on page 145, these two types of prema are discussed. Let's see. If you look in the second paragraph on page 145, it refers to the two of them. Profound veneration and automatic attraction. Then it says, Prabhupada says, in the Narada Pancharatra it is said that if on account of profound veneration for the greatness of the Supreme Lord, one attains a great affection and steady love for him, one is certainly assured of attaining the four kinds of Vaishnava liberation, namely achieving the same bodily features as the Lord, achieving the same opulence as the Lord, dwelling on the planet where the Lord is residing, and attaining eternal association with the Lord. In other words, you go to Vaikuntha. Then kevala prema, the description is... where is it? It's in the next paragraph. If a devotee is continuously in love with Lord Krishna and his mind is always fixed upon him, that devotional attitude will prove to be the only means of attracting the attention of the Lord. And this type of devotee will go to Goloka Vrindavan, because this is the how the devotee who's come to bhava through Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti, this is the general condition that they will manifest. Okay, well, that's just a little bit about prema bhakti. That is not too little. Any questions or comments? Yes, Krishna?
You said that we're having the test. This is the last class before the test,
we're
going to have
one more. No, we're having one class tomorrow. But we're basically, I'm going to basically be explaining what's in the test tomorrow. I wasn't sure at the beginning of the class if we were going to finish talking about prema bhakti, you see. But it looks like we are, to a large extent, through it. So, yeah. Then the test will be on Monday, I think. Everyone?
I didn't hear what you said about the... number one is the prema reached through the... I didn't hear what you said.
Through Vaidhi bhakti. Yeah, but thing is, they've already been... Vaidhi sadhana finishes when they begin bhava bhakti. Then they don't practice, but they perform bhava bhakti in the Vaidhi mood. And then they come to prema bhakti of this type, mahatmya jnana, prema. And then the other, kevala prema, pure prema, unalloyed prema. It means they came to Bhava initially through Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti, and then when they were in Bhava, their sadhana's finished, but their Bhava Bhakti was all of the nature of Raganuga. I don't know. You'd have to ask the VIHE authorities.
Both ways, the highest level of prema can be achieved. The
Mahatmya Gandhi. No, Kevala Prema is higher. Yeah. Kevala Prema is higher. Because in Mahatmya Gyan Prema, there's this profound veneration and like that. One recognizes Krishna as God, but in Kevala Prema, because of the pure love, in terms of the relationship, Krishna is my friend. Krishna is my child or my relative. Krishna is my lover. Then it's pure love with no other considerations other than the loving relationship. So that knowledge, that Mahatmya Gyan, the knowledge of the glory of Krishna, sort of like spiritually tinges the love of the devotees in Vaikuntha, so that the sentiment of love tends to be overshadowed a little by the sentiment of awe and reverence. So the love doesn't manifest, it's held back by that. But when that sense of awe and reverence isn't there so much, then the sense of love, that through in terms of the personal relationship, then that just increases more and more. And that's the difference between Vaikuntha and Goloka, actually. That the love in Goloka is unrestrained by any consideration other than the love. But here you've got love plus some knowledge of Krishna's greatness.
What is the room for freedom? Including the fact that you are into a particular rasa. Is it, for instance, at the beginning, so to say, that some particular energy of the Lord cover is certain rasa, and it happens you are just into that category of energy as a jiva? Or you choose yourself?
Oh, I see. Well, the basic understanding is that Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema, Lord Chaitanya said. You know that verse? Sajja Kabunoi. Love of Krishna, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema. The eternal perfection of love of Krishna is within the heart of every living entity. So when we talk of love of Krishna, it doesn't mean just like a vague sentiment. It means prema. Prema, which means in one of the five rasas, is within the heart.
So, I'm speaking of that stage,
yes.
Which is already within the heart.
It's already there.
Is there any choice for that particular jiva to have that particular rasa? Or it's just distributed random in your heart when you are into that category?
Well, we are eternally that, whatever it may be. There was never any point of choice. But, you know, we've always been whatever it is. Yeah. And that's good. Yeah. It's not like we are now going to go into something we've never had before. That eternal perfection is there. That's our eternal nature. And it's just a matter of realizing that and not acquiring something from another source. In fact, when Prabhupada translates that verse, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sajja Kabunoi, he makes the point that love of Krishna is within the heart. It is not to be acquired from another source, from an outside source. So when we say love of Krishna, we automatically mean that it's in one of the five rasas. It's not just like, oh, I love Krishna.
in a vague way, and then later it becomes more specific. No. Love of Krishna means in one of the five relationships. So, as that becomes uncovered, one becomes more and more attracted to one's natural relationship. Now, of course, we do know that the examples given in the CC of Lakshmi, who wanted to change. She wanted to become a gopi. So she tried, but she hasn't succeeded yet. And then there, we mentioned the other day about Anupam, Rupa and Sanatan's brother, and Murari Gupta. They also tried to change, but they also didn't in the end. So, according to my understanding, I'm not aware of anyone mentioned in any of our books who wanted to change and who actually changed. Is it? You've got Lakshmi Devi, Anupam and Murari Gupta. They're the only people who I'm aware of who wanted to change. Of them, none of the three did. Although Lakshmi is apparently still trying. But to date, none of them have done so. So therefore, it sounds like even though the option is there, but doesn't sound like it happens much. Isn't it? I mean, we're not aware of it. I'm sure otherwise we would be told about it. And the thing is that in every rasa, whether you end up as, you know, a friend or a lover, a parent, a servant, or whatever it may be, no one is thinking that, oh, I'm only in Sakya Ras. What a drag. Gee, I wish I could be in Vatsalya Ras or Madhurya Ras. Doesn't really sound like that happens a lot. In fact, I was reading one description. The cowherd boys, when Krishna tells them they're out herding the cows, Krishna tells them, okay, I'm going to go and meet the gopis now. Now we know that means he's going to go for Madhurya Rasa, which is higher. So the cowherd boys, though, they think, what? What's he going to go and do with those silly girls? He should stay with us. This is really where it's at, being a cowherd boy, but associating with these girls. What's wrong with this, Krishna? So they think like that. Actually, they're thinking it's the best. And the same with the parental rasa. They think it's the best. So they're not feeling, oh, we're in a lower position. What a shame. And therefore, they're feeling impelled to try and come to a higher position. Yeah. So Prabhupada actually said, whatever your relationship with Krishna is, you'll be fully satisfied. He gave the example of different sizes of cups. One cup is small, the other is much bigger. But when the small cup is full, it's full. You can't put more, there's no point in putting more in. It's not going to increase. So it's like that. Those, whatever rasa they're in, even in Vaikuntha, they think, oh, why bother going to Goloka Vrindavan? What's the point? We're much better off here in Vaikuntha. There they don't even know that the Lord is God. Just see how foolish they are. They think like that. Krishna does? Yeah, so that's a very rare example. Where's another example? There's no other example. Rather, there are two examples of people who were encouraged to change their relationship, but they just weren't into it at all. So, there's no real evidence that this, at least we're not aware of any evidence, that this is going on as anything like a regular practice. And it's a fact, Prabhupada said, and our previous acharyas also make this point. Sanatan Goswami and Brihad Bhagavatamrita. He has this one devotee going from Vaikuntha to Ayodhya to up and up and up. And wherever he on whatever level he is, he meets the devotees, and they're all completely satisfied. And they're just absolutely not feeling they need to go anywhere else. And this is like a very prominent characteristic of all the different devotees he meets on all the different levels. So that would appear to be the general principle. I mean, in a sense, we don't really have to worry about it too much at this point. It's just kind of theoretical. But it's interesting. Okay, so let's end here. You want to ask something? No? Yes? Yeah. It means the practice of bhakti, following in the footsteps of those who have rag. You're practicing doing the same thing. You don't see a difference? Well, one is they already have rag. The other is like they're learning, practicing, training. They don't have it. They're trying to come to it. Yes. Practice and perfect. Ragatmik means the perfect stage. They have rag. Raganuga, sadhana, means they're practicing to get it by following those who have it. Is that okay? No. There's rag atmika devotees and rag atmika bhakti. Then there's raganuga sadhana bhakti. In fact, when we talk of raganuga bhakti, actually we're talking about raganuga sadhana bhakti. There isn't exactly something called raganuga bhakti, but there is raganuga sadhana bhakti. Yeah. I see. No, they're the same thing. Yeah. The more appropriate term is raganuga sadhana bhakti, because then it's very clear that it's the practice of bhakti following rag, or those who have rag. Yeah. And it's an internal process in which one is thinking, learning within the mind, and practicing within the mind, serving in that type of relationship. Yeah. Okay, I think we should end here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Astra vichara naika nipano Sadharama samstapako Lokanam itakarino tribhuvane Malyo sharanya karo Radha Krishna Padaravinda Bhajana Nandena Mataliko Vande Rupa Sanatana Raghujago Sri Jiva Gopalako. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, namely Sri Sanatana Goswami, Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, and Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who are very expert in scrutinizingly studying all the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles for the benefit of all human beings. Thus they're honored all over the three worlds, and they're worth taking shelter of because they're absorbed in the mood of the gopis and engaged in the transcendental loving service of Radha and Krishna. Sri Shad Goswami Prabhu Ki Jai. I think we're feeding back a little here. We could just do a little something. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So now the main thing we're going to do today is discuss the test, which is meant to be sometime on Monday or thereabouts. So anyway, we'll just go through it, and if we finish before 11, then you can just carry on study or do whatever. So, you have to know about the rules and regulations. So, Shivananda Prabhu, what are the three main rules?
Accepting Shaitan of spiritual master, taking nutrition from him, and serving the spirit of the spiritual master.
Okay, good. And Arjun, what are the five very important rules?
Staying in the holy place, chanting the holy name of the Lord, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, and associating with the devotees and ladies.
Yes. Srimurtiya Shradaya Seva. And over and above those eight, the three plus the five, you only have to learn, this is not my question, this is from the already prepared test, you only have to know another 30. That's all. Yes, I said over and above the eight, you only have to know another 30. Fine, no problem. Then, Sveta Dwi. No, you just list them. Well, you should also be able to explain, but we'll be asking you to list. So, Sveta Dwi Prabhu, what are the 10 Nam Aparads? To know that. Now, Anand. Gyan and Vairagya. Can they help us at all in devotional service? Okay, if yes, how?
Gyan is like having a knowledge.
No, this is not quite the right answer, but you got the first part right, so let's ask someone else. Ranchor, do you know to what extent or in what way can Gyan and Vairagya help us? This is now, what is it, chapter 14. So anyone? Umakant? No, we don't want liberation.
They can help us in our initial stage.
Yes. Specifically, Prabhupada says they can help you to gain a footing in Krishna consciousness at the very beginning. But if you look at somewhere in chapter 14, it's discussed there. Actually, I think it was right at the beginning of chapter 14. Charuchandra, tell us the Sanskrit of the verse which describes real Vaishnav renunciation. Saktasya. Called Yukta Vairagya. Keshavan, tell us the translation. Very good. Dasarath. Tell us the nine processes of devotional service. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, Smaranam Padanat Sevanam, Achanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakyam, Atmanavedanam. That's nine. Somehow you can memorize that. It all comes pretty naturally from that. So you need to know that. Then you need to know, let's see who can tell us this. Oh, Krishna. Who's hiding there? Abhimanyu. Tell us five of the people who became perfect by doing, in each case, one of those. So, you need to know five. So, who will... Sarup Siddhi. What is rag, in very simple terms? Sentence, basically, of the second paragraph on page 119. Srila Rupa Goswami has defined Raganuga Bhakti as... For something. Yes, I'm just saying that this is like an ideal translation. Spontaneous attraction for the Lord, say, while... Not exactly. No, rag. We're talking about rag. So let me just... If you've got this idea from the first sentence of the second paragraph on page 119, completely of rag atmik devotee. And what is raganuga, Vikram? Sadhana bhakti, in fact, is the practice of devotional service following in the footsteps of those who already have rag. Krishnadas, what is the definition of bhava? Two parts has two parts. Yeah. Shuddha sattva, visheshatma. Devotional service on the transcendental platform of pure goodness. Yes. Tastes, not rasas. Okay. Is bhava attained? There are two ways. Right. Rigid execution of sadhana bhakti in the association of pure devotees. Okay. Okay, good. It's like that. Yeah. You have to give an example of each type of attaining, each way of attaining bhava. So what was the example in Nectar of Devotion? Who was it who attained bhava through the association of pure devotees? Svetadu? Narada Muni, okay. And give us one example. There's quite a number of examples of some person or persons who achieved bhava by mercy. Krishnadas. Oh, I see. Well, he went back to Godhead. That was more than bhava. No, in Nectar of Devotion, there's quite a number. Svetadu? Okay, yeah. Prahlad Maharaj is one. The inhabitants of the Jungala province, they were another. Narada Muni was another. Shukadev Goswami was another. Those are the ones that come to my mind. But you only need to give one. He is both. I mean, at least according to Nectar of Devotion, he's definitely there, as in both categories. Okay. Oh, yeah. What are six of the main symptoms of bhava? No? No, English. Okay. There's nine, you have to give six. So what's number two?
Tolerance?
Sort of, yeah. Reserved and perseverant. It's a little bit more than just being tolerant. Who will put their hand up and then tell us the definition of prema? Yeah. Okay, let me just... Eva Sandratma. It's an intensified state of bhava. So then, someone else? There are two secondary characteristics.
Let this soften the heart.
Okay.
And marked by appearing possessiveness towards
Krishna. Yeah, highly possessive feeling. Great feeling of possessiveness in relation to the Lord. Then, how, Dasarath, how do you attain prema?
By the extraordinary mercy of Krishna.
Right. Yeah, basically. Or the rigid execution of bhava bhakti. Yeah. So those are the two ways you attain prema. Krishna Prasad. What are the two types of prema? Sanskrit and English. Yeah. Yeah, basically it means prema generated or based on an appreciation of the glories of the Lord. In other words, in a mood of awe and reverence. And someone else tell us the other type of prema? Anand? Kevala. Pure love. Without any consideration of anything other than one's personal relationship with the Lord. Then another thing you have to learn, I don't know if it's on your verse list, and we haven't even really discussed it. What are the stages between Shraddha and Prema in Sanskrit and English in order? Shivananda. No, you missed Nishtaya. Okay, fine. So, what does Shraddha mean, Rasikashekhar? Who can complete this verse? This just the Sanskrit. Shruti Smriti dot dot dot. Tell us the translation of that verse. Iha yasya dot dot. Hare Krishna. Fill in the blank. Prapanchi kataya. Yes. Okay, does anyone else know the translation of that verse? So you can tell us the translation.
I know some Vaishnava translation. Yeah. One who gives up anything, not understanding his connection with the Supreme Lord, is incomplete.
Is incomplete in renunciation, like that. Yeah. Okay, that's it. That's it. So who's going to get 100%? And we hope you all do very well. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.